everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, I'm in a wonderful mood because we got some rain overnight. I did not hear it. It must have been a rather gentle rain, but you know I have that rain gauge. You call it the test tube in the backyard, right?
That's how I vision it, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a half an inch. So things looking pretty good. We need a lot.
No, in a test tube, it's measured as cc's.
Okay. All right, Buckmaster, welcoming you in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio, the final Friday of July. It's the 29th of July, 2022. Our radio station, 1030 KVOI, The Voice, in our 12th year now with the radio program, The Buckmaster Show, all of our podcasts, our live listening at buckmastershow.com when we do our telephone interviews. That is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Friday Media Day shout-out, TucsonSentinel.com. Thanks, Dylan, and your team over at the Sentinel, Green Valley News, and the Sahorita Sun. And that's Mr. Shear, Dan Shear, who is with me in studio. Dan, thanks for everything you do and sitting in and always do a great job hosting the program. We're just always proud to have you on the team.
I enjoy being here.
The Tucson Local Media Group supports us. They have a portfolio of publications including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Friday Focus interview today is with Pima County Administrator Jan Lesher. Jan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hoping for rain just like you.
It's so weird. The Catalina's so green, yeah. Just getting a ton of rain, and it's weird in that the storms are staying over the mountains for the most part, not making it into the valley.
Not coming to my house at all, I got to tell you.
All right, we've got an election. The primary is Tuesday. Primarily, of course, this is a county and state that votes early. Are we prepared for day of voting, Jan Lesher?
Bill, we are prepared. I'll tell you, we've been watching this very closely, as has our community. Pima County, for the first time, is going to be going to vote centers, as well as an e-poll book method, joining other counties in the state. But what it does mean for people, if they're going to go out and vote on Election Day, or maybe drop off their ballot, there's about 215, 219 vote centers. So it's not their old polling place. If somebody's just planning to get up that morning and go directly to where they used to vote, it just might not be there. So we encourage them to please take a moment and verify if they're going to vote where they're at the vote center. The advantage they've got, really, is that you can go to any of the vote centers around town. So rather than going to just what was your polling place before, you can look at the list, figure out if you're out and about that day, you want to do errands or something, you can go to any one of those locations. And it's on the Pima County Elections website. We've also made sure that information is provided to every member of the Board of Supervisors. So if people feel comfortable contacting their supervisor, they can get them that information as well. But so far, things are really working.
Can you drop off an early ballot?
Yes, you can. Yes, okay. You can.
You know, for whatever reason, you didn't have time to fill it out. It's still there on the kitchen table.
You bet. You can certainly do that. And as I say, what we're seeing so far is things moving well. I think the board and the community were concerned, as were we, that everything would come in. You know, the supply chain issues or such.
What was that? You were waiting for 250 printers?
Printers, waiting on printers, that's right. And then at one point, worrying about paper.
Oh, my goodness.
All of that's come in, and we're very lucky. I think our elections director, while she is new to Pima County, has 28 years experience running elections.
And yeah, we've had her on the show. She seems sharp.
She knows her stuff. She does. And we were just checking today. We always have live feeds from various rooms within the elections facilities so people can watch at any time. We have to record them, but we also, there's no reason not to just let the public watch. So we were having a little hitch in the giddy up with everything was being recorded, but it wasn't transmitting. And so there was a challenge. As of when I left to come here, they were up and running, and we actually had a pretty good shot of 9 different camera angles of things. So people can see from the warehouse doors as ballots are arriving or moving. So anyone in the public can watch and see how ballots are making it through the process. So you might imagine, I think one of the last times we chatted, Bill, I said that one of the things that keeps me up at night is running this election because it's different and we didn't have staff. And I have to tell you, I'm sleeping now. Things are moving. The equipment's in place. Some 4,000 volunteer election aides and workers have been brought on board. And we have all the required numbers of Republicans and Democrats, and they're out watching everything. We've got representatives of all parties in the observing rooms now, making sure that they see all the ballots, starting with early ballots coming in. I'll put in a plug. I did it myself. I voted by mail. Mm-hmm. So I went online to look for my ballot, and I can just put in my name and my birth date, and it shows me when my ballot was received and it was certified, and I'm in group A2, I think it is, to be counted on election day. So good to know for people who always worry about jeepers, did it actually get there in the mail? You can go online and check it.
Hey, Dan.
I did the same and found that my ballot had been received.
Good.
So that
it's
was
a good feeling.
It is a good, yeah, it's good. It's good to, in a sense, get it over. But even so, you had couple of run-throughs for the vote centers just to test them. And there was some criticism out there, and I'll just going to be blunt about it. These are a lot of people who align with the Republican, maybe the far-right part of the Republican Party, and it looks like they are looking for flaws. Did anything come up that in the criticism that you felt was valid?
Let me try it this way, Dan. I think the criticism was valid. I think it recognized problems and concerns that we have addressed, if that's it. And by that, we made up voter registration lists for those two mock elections. And in one case, an individual was registering and their name wasn't on the database. We had just not programmed in that fake name, but that was fixed. And what we've done is to make sure that all of the voter registration lists are there.
Okay, so then the criticism wasn't all partisan.
It happens that the only criticism we received were from people affiliated with one party, but I think the reason we did those mock elections, if you will, or the trials, was to really kick the tires. And so, I don't think there was a criticism that said a system was broken. It was pointing out a couple of flaws that we have addressed and fixed, and I do not believe people will have those problems on election day.
What about results election night? Something that those of us in the news business, we always want results as quickly as possible.
Well, the election day results will come out. We are prohibited by law from releasing results until an hour after the polls close.
Right.
So you can usually about 8:01 get a, we hope, not much later, get a good chunk of ballots. And those are the people who voted early. Mm-hmm. They voted early and all of that has been processed. The kink comes, again, while we encourage people, if you haven't mailed your ballot, go ahead and bring it in. If you bring those ballots in, then that goes sort of to the end of the line. So everyone voted early. Those ballots are verified. People then vote election day. But there's a process for those of you who have your early ballot at home. As you can see, you put it in another envelope, in an envelope, and sign it. Those signatures have to manually be verified. So if you drop that off on election day, it's not until election day that we start the process of verifying those signatures. And I think that's what gets people anxious. We all want to know the results. And if we get a good batch of ballots dropped off on election day that were early ballots, it simply takes a while to physically get through that. We're legally required to get it all done in 10 days. And so that will happen. What I've seen in the past, frankly, is that the ballots that come in early or the results early don't tend to change a great deal before the end. Sometimes it can change. If an election is a blowout early on, that's probably going to stay. If it's within a percent or so, you'll see some changes.
Let's go to the live line. Matt has called us at 790-2040, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures. Go ahead, Matt. You're with Jan Lesher.
I was curious, Jan, about there was a brouhaha a week or so back, and you may not know this, and then again you may, but regarding observers in one of the election cycles, I was wondering if by chance that it came across, and was that resolved? Thank you. Bye.
And Matt, forgive me, I didn't hear the very beginning of your
question.
Something
about an observer. Was there an issue with an observer? Was it resolved?
Well, were observers going to be allowed to observe during either the primary or something? There was some sort of question,
Matt,
as to that.
Okay, thank you. A question came up in Pima County, we have a little bit of a unique system because the recorder, the county recorder, deals with the early voting and the 15 early voting sites that were up and out. The county, our side of the house, the administrative side, runs elections. We have allowed through the county observers in all aspects of what we do in terms of the early of, the vote centers, or as we're in now, processing ballots and things. The recorder felt that there could not be observers other than those designated by her in the early vote sites, the 15 that were around the county. And she had a variety of concerns related, quite frankly, simply to space and the ability to accommodate that group. So that was the split, if you will. We are all working together to make sure that that has been addressed before the general.
Okay, Dan, do you have anything more on elections? Or?
Just, I think it just bears repeating that if you have an early ballot and you have not mailed it yet, don't mail it. You need to bring it in because it's probably too late and it may not be counted. It may arrive past Tuesday.
Good point. Thank you.
The Pima, the restoration at the courthouse is winning all these awards. Looks
it
really
is. It is. And,
nice. Very impressive.
The administrative offices, mine and others, has moved into the courthouse. And I was just chatting with a visitor on the way out. I have to tell you, it's a real honor to work in that building. It's an extraordinary piece of the history. If you've not been down there, I encourage you, please, to come down. Half of the downstairs is the University of Arizona's Gem and Mineral Museum, mm-hmm. and the Alfie Norville Museum. And you may have seen it at the university, but it's downstairs now. And people with whom I've chatted who were sort of wondering about coming down, thinking, it's one of these little small towns, did a little schlocky, whatever, and have now said, jeepers, it's as good as anything I've seen in the country.
Dusty and, display cases.
This is not the thing. It's the real deal. And so we've got this beautiful Gem and Mineral Museum, and then Pima County's developed a sort of a history museum of Pima County. And then, of course, the gift shop, which we always encourage people to stop by.
I know Dan and his readers are very concerned about the hospital there in Green Valley shutting down. And Dan, is there anything you think the county can do about that?
Well, I think the big question there is we had suddenly 300 people tossed out of jobs, and I know One Stop helps out. And what does the county do in a situation like this?
It is the One Stop that we get notified through the state is our rapid response team, and who gets out there. There are very specific requirements through DES at the state that filter into the county, and so we meet immediately with people when we know there's going to be layoffs like that or a business closing, begin to work with them to find other jobs in the community, in the facility nearby. And actually, if I may, I'd just tell you that I think one of our great challenges now, the county, and I think we're no different than anyone else, it's the workforce issues. It's hiring people. We are running about a 17% vacancy rate around the county. And
some departments are a lot higher, too.
They are, and I think businesses around Pima County are facing the same thing. So for us, it's been trying to simply find a way to connect those 300 individuals who are coming out of that, out of the facility, and making sure that they find other jobs in the community. We work regularly with Banner and TMC and all of our partners just to make sure we're seeing what needs to happen to guarantee or at least to provide access to care throughout the county.
The Pima Animal Care Center mm-hmm. surprised us recently when they suggested that they might actually have to start euthanizing some animals, which is, I don't know, it had been years since that had happened. How did they get to that point, and how are things now?
Monica was on the show here yesterday.
Okay. Oh, good.
And she said things are looking a lot better.
They're looking a lot better. And it was quite literally that
Monica
perfect
Dangler,
storm.
Who is the Pima Animal Care Center director. We had her for an update. Go ahead,
good,
Jan.
Good. Thank you, Bill. A lot of individuals found a pet to be a wonderful companion during COVID when they were at home and working remotely. And some of those individuals go back to work and didn't have somebody to take care of an animal. At the end of every university season, we get an influx of folks who might have gotten a pet while they were here in Tucson at the U of A, and that changed. We always have the problems that are related to the 4th of July. Fireworks and dogs are not close friends, and so we end up with a lot of dogs showing up at that point. And we were really struggling. And let me first say, and I hope Monica mentioned it as well, we had commented that we very drastic measures to have to euthanize animals, and we were trying to avoid that. And that was responded to immediately by the Jim Click and his family. Jim Click sent a very generous donation saying, please don't euthanize animals. And so that allows us, for example, to say, well, jeepers, Bill, if you're willing to take a dog for a day or two, we'll pay for the dog food. We'll pay for the care so that we have another place for an animal to be housed. But the Jim Click Foundation was huge in helping. So
let me put a quick plug in on my Facebook page. I put in an animal that's been the longest resident. His name is Charlie. He's 4 years old. If you want to see a picture of him, he's still available for adoption. It's Bill Buckmaster, my website or my Facebook page. This animal has been there, Jan and Dan. Now his 1 year anniversary is today. That's a long
go
time.
Go over to PAC, please, if you're looking
and
for a dog.
Charlie.
Yeah.
Why don't we take the break right here? All right. It's Buckmaster on a Friday talking with Jan Lesher, Pima County Administrator. 790-2040 if you'd like to join us in our conversation. We'll be right back.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Jan Lesher is with us, Pima County Administrator, and Dan Shear from the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Let's talk about property tax rate. I guess this rate is set in August, even though the budget is adopted and ended July 1st. So there's a budget, tax rate will be set. Real estate's been off the charts. I'm just wondering, do I need to put a little more into my monthly kitty for my property tax that so I don't have to pay it all? Kind of feel like it's coming out of the checkbook.
That's
like
right.
A big,
so put a little aside.
Right.
But the we are required, I think it's the Constitution, but to set the tax rate on the first Monday, the second Monday of August. So we've done the budgets. We've let everybody know what it is, but it's in a formal, the day we have to do it. So we actually have one board meeting all year long on a Monday, and that's on August 15th.
Oh.
But the rate is pretty well known. What the board did this year, the board ended up with a tax rate that is about 13 cents less than last year on every $100 of assessed valuation.
Hmm.
So the good news is if you look at the last 3 years, your taxes have gone down. It's about 49 cents for every $100 of assessed valuation. But I want to be clear about that, because of the increase in assessed valuation,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to see your bill go down. And that's, I hear, well, we're cutting taxes. We're cutting the tax rate.
Oh, okay.
But assessed valuation is keeping those dollars up. What a big chunk of that goes to is we have developed a new system called PAYGO. And rather than borrowing money for critical infrastructure, we set aside 60% of the increased amount that comes into the county by that increased assessed valuation and goes in large part to our road maintenance. And that's how we are moving towards a goal of all of the 80% of the roads in Pima County at a 80% better, which means they're very good. We had targeted 2030 for that. We should hit that by 2029, some $86 million this last year just to road maintenance.
You're saying 8 out of the 10 roads will be in good shape?
Yes, we'll be in very good shape.
Very good?
That's the goal. It's unincorporated Pima County,
okay.
too, so that... But we're seeing some real change in that. But so the third year in a row, taxes going down, the rate going down, because of assessed valuation, you may see your bill go up.
Okay.
Dan? You talked about a 17% vacancy rate countywide, and I'm going to assume that a lot of that is, or part of that at least, is retirements. How's the staffing doing with, what's the impact on staffing because of retirements?
We're seeing a lot more, I'll tell you that. And I'm struggling a minute. I don't have the number in my head, but enough that we now get a report every 2 weeks that we share that's retirements, anybody who's left the county, at the end of every pay period, I review to see what's retirement, what's termination, who's quit, because they're just want to go do something else. Lots of different reasons, but we are seeing your retirements going up. We have about 577 individuals who have retired from something else who have come to work at Pima County. A lot of that, obviously, the military is a good example, but we do have folks who are retirees and back with us. It is an older population.
Are you saying some retire and come back? Former Pima County employees retire and then they decide...
That has happened in the past.
They don't want to sit around and look at the four walls.
So they do come back.
All right, Dan.
Give us the rundown on Steve Holmes, the deputy county mm-hmm. administrator, and he came from an interesting background.
Steve Holmes joined us about 2 weeks ago, coming from being the superintendent of the Sunnyside School District. And actually, as I think many people here know, the former county administrator was injured last October. I was the chief deputy and now the county administrator, so we were a person down since last October. And part of it is I was really trying to find just the right guy. And when I got looking around at Orgel, what intrigued me about a school district is some of the buckets of similarities. There's a finance department, there's a fleet department, there's some public health concerns, there's facilities, there's a 5-member governing board.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of the same experience. So what I was looking for was someone who knew the kinds of problems and issues we face, but maybe really was coming in with a clean set of eyes, you know,
mm-hmm.
fresh perspective. So we're really blessed now. Some people know Carmine DeBonis is our deputy county administrator. He's been with the county 31 years.
So he's number two.
There's three deputies right now.
Okay.
Carmine does public works. A lot of people mm-hmm. out there have worked with him at development services or any of our public works department. Dr. Francisco Garcia is the other deputy. A lot of folks have gotten to know Dr. Garcia through the pandemic. He's our chief medical officer as well. And now Steve. So we have a full complement and are about to hit our first board meeting with Steve on the team.
You know, when I think about it, you mentioned Dr. Garcia as the top person at the health department, and then to have as the second person nationally renowned health person, public health person like Dr. Cullen, that's a pretty good 1-2 punch.
We have a very, you're right, with our two doctors, it's very strong. We started, again, about a decade ago and said we have a goal to develop a county health department that is the gold standard. My hope is that if something came up and there was a question, and you think about putting COVID aside and all those challenges, whenever there was Zika or different diseases coming through, said I want it to be that the public knows that it can call the county health department and that individual is a good source of information. And I think between Drs. Cullen and Garcia and actually some 400 really terrific individuals who are out at the health department doing a lot of great work every day.
They have a lot of vacancies there, too.
They do. They're, jeepers, about 30%.
That's unbelievable.
COVID has worn us all down.
Yeah.
And so.
You know what we haven't talked about, Dan, is this water rate dispute. Haven't talked about it recently. I don't think we've talked about it on the show since that kind of went to a judge, and it's all been now, I guess, behind closed doors, Pima County suing Tucson Water. Is there anything you can say publicly?
I can, and I will just tell you, for people who, if you want to follow this at all, we do. I try to update the board every couple of months on what little we know, and all those memorandums are on the county website. So there's a lot of information out there, but you're right. We're in that process of litigation where motions are made and documents are exchanged and a lot of that kind of conversation. The core of it is that there was a differential water rate established by the city that charged people different rates in different parts of the community.
Yes.
And the county didn't believe that that is the fair way to address water rates. It goes back to a 78 accord where the county got wastewater, the city's got water.
Mm-hmm.
Both, we hope, partner for the betterment of the entire valley. And our board believing that we need different eyes on looking at how those rates are established.
All right, Dan, I've got a bunch of stuff still on my list. Go ahead. What do you have?
You dropped a memo dated yesterday. It was an update on Hudbay Minerals and the mining that they're doing in the Santa Ritas. Anything new in that?
I think the bottom line, and Dan, I'm guessing there's not a thing I know about Hudbay that you can't teach me out in that neck of the woods, but the difference between Hudbay and Rosemont, if you had one point, is that it's on private land, and that many of the ways in which advocates and those who might want to make changes in, or oppose the mine, it's on private land, it's different. There are things that we are watching about water quality and air quality and things that we can monitor, but nothing really different at this point.
Okay. And I went through the memo and I didn't see a whole lot of anything different. I just want to make sure I wasn't missing anything.
No, just quick updates that we can.
All right. In my stack of stuff, another thing we haven't really talked about much lately is Pima County had recommended that firm to run Old Tucson, and I guess they're gearing up now to do the Halloween deal.
They are. The American
Scary
Heritage.
Scary Night or whatever.
Fright
Nightfall.
Night. Nightfall. Their official reopening will be for Nightfall. And they are they were out hiring people for that. There was a lot of work that went on. From when Old Tucson closed during the pandemic, there's almost $4 million that went in initially just to start fixing things up, you know, roofs and floors and things. So I think people will go out and see a brighter and a shinier Old Tucson at this point. One of the things that they are looking at very closely is what it means for the film industry again.
Mm-hmm.
The state has just passed a new bill and has a tax credit to encourage people to get back into the, making movies here in this area. And the owners now of Old Tucson, the people who are running Old Tucson or leasing it, have a real interest in or watching and whether it's time to build a new soundstage. They've got some areas out there that they are repurposing in that way. And there's a lot going on in the Phoenix area, as always, but I think that Old Tucson's going to come back and give them a real run for their money out at that location.
Do they have a soundstage now, or they would have to, it's probably, if they do, it need to be updated. I don't even know if they have one.
They are, I can't say the exact status, but they're looking at putting a soundstage in one of the buildings, and it's, moving through the process.
Okay, and we're moving right along. Dan, mm-hmm. what else do you have?
You extended the test to treat program. This is COVID, and this is not only testing people, but also giving them this Paxlovid. Mm-hmm. It has been very successful. Is that accurate? And
That is accurate. It's been very successful. And so people who have been coming in right on one location, they can get tested and they can begin the treatment.
And so what's Paxlovid for people who don't know? Basically, it just it makes it so it's not as bad.
Antiviral
yeah.
takes
yeah.
about...
Yes. I think that's it.
You take it for about 5 days, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. And I think what I'm hoping is we're getting to that point. COVID's not going to go away. But it's a new norm. You know, we don't have as many people dying and ending up in hospitals.
Are we going to have kind of a uniform code for constables? So if a constable shows up at your door, they'll have like a standard uniform representing that they work for Pima County?
The Michael Stevenson is the chief constable. Forgive me, Michael, what that top is. And he has been working with others in the department or amongst the constables to write a manual and doing a terrific job making sure that there's real standard and consistency for, as you mentioned, so mm-hmm. that you know who that person is, you know why they're at their door, at your door, and they're working very hard to provide a standard of professionalism in the constables that perhaps we've not seen before.
Wrap it up, Dan? Or
yeah, the media have been kind of losing their minds over monkeypox. Not that it isn't a big deal, but we have had a case in Pima County. Does it get a lot of talk over at your offices?
It does because we've started vaccines. Mm-hmm. We got our first tranche of 450 doses. We did our first clinic where there was 150 doses made available, held some back for second shots and things, and had some almost 70 people that first time. We get a lot of inquiries. We have not been pushing it too much yet until we get more of the more of the medication, but we're spending a lot of time reaching out in unique social ways, social media,
right,
to reach the individuals who could be impacted. But stay tuned. There'll be more clinics and opportunities to be vaccinated mm-hmm. coming up.
Also, before we go, I'm sure many people are wondering about Chuck Huckleberry. How is Mr. Huckleberry doing?
Thanks for asking, Bill. He's doing very well. And actually, he had his first outing, if you will, that wasn't to physical therapy or a hospital. And he went with his wife Maureen a couple weeks ago when it was the opening of the film about Gabby Giffords
mm-hmm.
that was at the Loft.
Was he there?
And
Mr.
he was able to attend that night. Yep.
Oh,
so,
well, all right.
Better every day. Thank
Jan
you.
Lesher, good to see you. We'll bring good you back you. In October around that point. Get an update, okay?
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I want to talk to Dan about state of the Republican Party in Arizona. And I'll tell you, Arizona for the Republicans is really Trump country, according to this new poll that Dan's going to tell us some very interesting information in this poll. And it's not a poll that was done a bunch of days ago. It's a recent poll.
It just was released today.
So this is going to, if you're interested about who apparently is the front runner in these big top-of-the-ticket races, stick around.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rieto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Thanks to Jan Lesher. Good to see Jan, Pima County Administrator, spending about a half an hour with Dan Scheer, the editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Dan is still with me in studio, and I'm really kind of excited to talk about this era public opinion pulse survey, Arizona Public Opinion Pulse. It's a survey on kind of the top of the ticket races.
Right. This is
on the the Republican side.
Right, yeah. Right. And this is put out by OH Predictive Insights, and they are very reliable. And in journalism, we're always taught that there are roughly 10 questions you ask about every poll, and one of them is the margin of error. This one's 4.37%. They talked to 502 people. And that's maybe a little higher than you like to see that margin of error, but it's going to give us a pretty good idea. This poll just was released about 2 or 3 hours ago, and it had some surprising definitive things, if you believe polls. This is all Republicans, so if we can start with the governor's race, Carrie Lake is at 51%. Karen Taylor Robeson is at 33%.
Wow.
That's stunning.
It is.
Karen Taylor Robeson had poured
spent
in so
a
much.
Fortune.
So much money.
Maybe
into
not
this.
A fortune for her, but for most.
Oh, absolutely. Most. And there was this back and forth because Carrie Lake, of course, is Trump endorsed. Karen Taylor Robeson was endorsed by Mike Pence and also Governor Ducey. And she just made a cross state trip with them. And so it was kind of people saw it as kind of this duel between Pence and Trump type of a thing. But this poll that just came out has Carrie Lake up by 18 points, and that is incredible.
The Trump-endorsed candidate for the U.S. Senate is Blake Masters. He's got a very comfortable lead.
Right, over Jim Lammon, and that's 36% for Masters to 21% for Jim Lammon. Mark Brnovich, you know, fading. This is an interesting number that there are still 22% of the people who just aren't sure, or they declined to answer the question. But Blake Masters was leading by 7 percentage points in early July, and now he's up by 15.
The Arizona Attorney General race has Rodney Glassman, who the last race he won, I believe, you correct me if I'm wrong, was for Tucson City Council.
That's true.
And has run about 4 or 5 times for big offices. And if this poll holds up, he's not going to win the Arizona Republican primary for Attorney General.
Correct. Abe Hamaday is at 31%.
Again, the Trump-backed candidate.
Correct. And so, you know, Arizona is Trump country.
Yeah.
By according to this poll, we'll see how they do in the general. But Rodney is at Rodney Glassman is at 16%, up 10 percentage points from early July. But Abe Hamaday is up 24 percentage points.
Mark Fincham in the Secretary of State race looks to be very comfortable, according to this poll.
Absolutely. That's kind of a done deal. And then Kimberly Yee, who had been in the governor's race for a short time, but then decided to go back and try again for the treasurer position, which she holds currently, is looking very solid. But still about 48% of voters there are undecided. The interesting thing is, and sit down if you've been involved in Arizona. I've been in Arizona for a while, but Tom Horn is
Back.
So he's neck and neck at 21% for superintendent of public instruction.
He's the former attorney general of Arizona. He's the former school head of schools in Arizona.
Yeah, he's been in this position before, and people thought that after he left the AG's office that that was the last we would see of him. Not the case. But early July he was at 18%. Now he's at 21. But Shuri Sapir was at 7%. Now she's at 21%. And so they again are neck and neck. She's up 14 points. So that'll be interesting to see if that trajectory continues. That's looks good for her. So again, these are key positions across Arizona. This is all the Republicans, and then of course in the general. And let's if we could go back very quickly to the governor's race, where we'd have Katie Hobbs versus, if this poll is to be believed, Carrie Lake, and that would be a very interesting race.
And I wonder if the Hobbs people would rather face Carrie Lake.
Making it
a clear-cut thing. You know, it's Trump. You either like Trump or you don't in this race.
Right. And Carrie Lake is a much easier target, quite honestly. And but I think we would be issues-focused if it were Karen Taylor Robes, and the whole campaign would be. Mm-hmm. Whereas Carrie Lake has been out there just really playing to the base, talks a lot about the border and a lot about the issues that are certainly important, but are not what a lot of us would consider the key issues in Arizona, which would, you know, include things like water, and in my area, mining is one of them, and inflation. It all comes back to the pocketbook.
You know, maybe it's just because I didn't get off the bus yesterday, and I've listened to these political ads now for over 50 years in this business, and it's like I'm always happy when the primary is, you know, we have a pause then. I know this, it's been great for the station here. Sales staff has done real well by, you know, booking the ads. Dan, I wonder, someone sitting there hearing one of these ads, I'm going to do this and this, you can count on it. Oh, gee, that really just changed my mind. And it's the same thing with political mailers. I would venture to say the vast majority of those go directly into the garbage.
I think for those of us who pay attention to these things, which is probably a very small percentage, unfortunately, they do go into the garbage because we've been studying the issues on our own. But for a lot of people, you know, those bumper sticker slogans mean something. They can't even go deep on the issues, much less the candidates doing it. Mm-hmm. And so, but they say, well, you know, I kind of like Carrie Lake because she said this at a rally.
Okay.
And so I think a lot of people vote on a lot less information than we
think.
Or,
you know, they may be saying, I like Carrie Lake. She was great on TV.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I
invited her into my living room.
They like the look of her.
Yeah.
You know, I spent 22 years in this town on television every night doing a news program. And guess what people, when I would see someone, guess what they always would talk about? I love your ties, Bill. I love the ties.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when I left TV, people have asked, do you still have your tie collection? I mean, it was just so wonderful. And I haven't put on a tie in, I don't know, a couple of years.
Well, you know, you have probably still have great name recognition. Bill, you could run.
Yeah.
But you've covered enough of these things where you would never do it.
I was asked at one point, and I said, no, I do not want a shovel taken to my personal life.
Absolutely not. Yeah. And you know, I think that's a very important thing to recognize too, that regardless of you know, where you stand politically, these people put it on the line. They put everything out there when run for office, and everything is fair game. And so it's a tough gig.
So we're bringing you back telephonically. We'll do a half hour wrap up show after the primary here. Wednesday at 12:30, we'll have you on the phone. Tim Steller of the Star will be on the phone, and Dylan Smith from the Sentinel is going to be with me in studio. So we've got to do a kind of a wrap-up of how this goes. But again, looking at that polling, Trump has made a big difference in Arizona.
Right, and as Jan Lesher mentioned, they will drop the early ballots, meaning we'll know at 8:01 exactly what's going on. And I think it'll be pretty quick on some of these top races to know that what we'll be facing in the general.
All right, Dan, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show on a Friday. We've got Weekend Watch coming up with Matt Russell after we take the break in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
And away we go with Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning now, just a three-hour drive east of Tucson. And if you're looking for some beautiful greenery, the Gila National Wilderness, they've had such good rain over in Silver City. Kind of unlike Tucson, we had a little bit last night at our house, but we're still waiting for a lot more. SouthwestNewMexico.org for where to stay, great places to stay in the area, and what to do, all sorts of activities. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist. Matt, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great, and you know, I peeked in your window last night, Bill, and I saw you and Ann doing the rain dance, and you know that paid off a little bit. But we're going to need you to get back into your dancing shoes tonight because we need a little bit more precip.
Yeah, I was able to eke out about a half an inch out of Mother Nature's faucet, so maybe I can get you some more. Hey, being a big fan of the Hawaiian archipelago, I'm always ready for a luau.
Yeah, you and I both, and let's step into our grass skirts while we're at it. It's a luau party, yeah, tomorrow at Arizona Hops and Vines in Sonoyta. From 2 to 5 p.m., Bill, they're going to have a full roasted pig. And this bad boy is going to be accompanied by hula dancers and live tropical music, Hawaiian cocktails with tropical snacks. Of course, plenty of reds, whites, and rosés by the glass and by the bottle. And, of course, you can't host a luau without a Hawaiian shirt contest. So plan to wear your loudest and most obnoxious one in the collection, and you may be the winner. It's aloha time tomorrow at 2 at Arizona Hops and Vines.
Something tells me there'll be plenty of Mai Tais.
Oh, yes. Oh, I can smell them now.
Hey, this Iron Chef Tucson thing's a big deal.
It is the biggest foodie event and culinary competition of the year. Iron Chef Tucson is back after a two-year break where incumbent Iron Chef Wendy Gauthier of Chef Chic, she's going to take on challenger Ken Foy of Dante's Fire. It's tomorrow night on the grand stage at Casino del Sol. Now, these chefs are going to have only 1 hour to produce four courses, and each of the courses must include a secret ingredient, which will be revealed just minutes before the 60-minute clock starts to tick. The battle begins at 5, and I'll be doing the live play-by-play from the stage with my co-host, Chef Ryan Clark. Only a handful of tickets remain, so go to ironcheftucson.com to grab yours now.
And also, for our wine lovers, what do we have for them?
Yeah, those who love wine and those who love cats. And I know you and Ann are cat people.
We
too.
Are.
Absolutely. Well, our friends over at Arizona Wine Collective in St. Philip's Plaza, they also love their fluffy little friends. And they're going to be hosting an event on Sunday called Fine Wines for Felines from 4 to 6 p.m. Now, you're going to enjoy a flight of three Arizona wines plus some hors d'oeuvres for pairing for only $25. And they're going to donate half of the ticket sale to the Positively Cats No Kill Cat Shelter to benefit our shelter cats. And you can also purchase raffle tickets for all kinds of fun stuff they have there. So that's this Sunday at 4 p.m. at the Arizona Wine Collective.
Before we get to the column, Dan Shear is with us, our buddy from Green Valley. Dan, anything about any new restaurants, Dan, coming to the area that you could share with Matt and myself?
Does E.G.'s count? Because they just opened yesterday.
They did.
Just yesterday, yeah. We'll take it, by the way.
I could see the lines right now. E.G.'s always counts, for the record. Let's just say that right now.
But are you getting, Dan, what would be considered fine dining in the area?
Not fine dining, but we do have a pizza place that's about to open. It's called McGee's, and it is going to be good. It's family-owned, local recipe. I believe it's New Jersey-style pizza. Mm. And so, anyway, they are just moments from opening. But yeah, we'd love more mid-level dining.
All right. And Matt, coming up in the Inside Tucson Business column.
Yeah, you know, I've been to many wine pairing dinners and cocktail pairing dinners over the years, but I've never been to a dinner where they feature pairings for both wine and cocktails. Well, lucky me, one is coming up, and you can read all about it in this week's Inside Tucson Business.
Boy, there's a little something for everybody there, right?
That's right. Stand in line, but you have to stand behind me. I'm going to be the first one in the door.
There you go. Matt Russell, always a pleasure. Matt, have a great weekend.
Yeah, you do the same. To you as well, Dan.
All righty. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music, which you hear at the beginning of our program and will hear in a few moments, is by our friend Christophan, our German friend, who composed some original music for the show. Thanks to Rose Brandt, my assistant, everybody here at KVOI, including engineer-producer Tom Fairbanks, the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson, so kind to the Buckmaster Show team. Be well, everybody. Stay safe. Have a lovely weekend. See you Monday.